Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 8th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
reaction pours into the landmark approval of Biogen's Alzheimer's drug. We hear from the CEO.
Bipartisan talks on infrastructure spending appear to have stalled.
The U.S. recovers nearly all the ransom paid in last month's Colonial Pipeline hack.
More COVID restrictions could be lifted in a matter of days in New York, and one mayoral candidate is low in the polls but is getting plenty of Wall Street support. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Blowout win for the Nets. They're up 2-0 on Milwaukee. The Islanders won Game 5 in Boston for a 3-2 series lead.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 106.1 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are mixed this morning. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 4 points, Dow futures down 22, and NASDAQ futures are up 40. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, CAC in Paris up 0.3%, so is the FT 100. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.55%, the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5%. Or 32 cents at $68.91 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $4 at $18.94.80 an ounce. The euro this morning, 1.2174 against the dollar, and the yen is at 109.53. Nathan.
Karen, Biogen is still the talk of the town this morning. The company's controversial Alzheimer's therapy is being called a game changer after winning approval from U.S. regulators. That sent shares up almost 40%. CEO Michel Vounatsa says the decision could dramatically change treatment for the debilitating disease.
Today, you have three compounds with similar activity, and we are the first one in the market. In a few years, there will be others, and we invite them because the market is so large.
Biogen CEO Michel Vounatsa says the company's already produced millions of vials of its drug, and it could hit the market within 2 weeks. We'll get more on the news 15 minutes from now when we speak with Bloomberg Intelligence senior pharmaceutical analyst Sam Fazeli.
We now turn to the latest on Capitol Hill, where bipartisan talks on infrastructure appear to have stalled. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. President Biden rejected the latest GOP proposal last week, and Shelley Moore Capito, who's leading the discussions for Republicans, said she's bringing no new counteroffer to a conversation with Biden that's scheduled for today. So a bipartisan group of senators say they're ready to step in with an alternative. Republican Senator Mitt Romney says he and five others will present their own proposal to a wider bipartisan group of 20 lawmakers. The White House is open to discussions with the group. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. We have new details emerging on last month's cyber attack on Colonial Pipeline. The U.S. says it's recovered almost all the ransom paid to the perpetrators of the hack. FBI Deputy Director Paula Bates says the seizure amounts to $2.3 million.
Today, the FBI successfully seized criminal proceeds from a Bitcoin wallet that dark side ransomware actors used to collect a cyber ransom payment from a victim.
FBI Deputy Director Paula Bates says the agency was able to find the Bitcoin by uncovering digital addresses the hackers used to transfer funds.
New developments this morning on the fight against the pandemic. The coronavirus variant driving India's devastating second wave appears to be the most infectious yet. Hearing impairment, severe gastric issues, and blood clots leading to gangrene have been linked by doctors in India to the so-called Delta variant. They're serious symptoms not typically seen in COVID patients, and in England and Scotland, early evidence suggests the strain carries a higher risk of hospitalization.
Tensions between Washington and Beijing over the virus could be heating up. A U.S. report is said to conclude COVID-19 could have leaked from a lab in Wuhan, China. According to the Wall Street Journal, the study was prepared last year by the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California. It says the Wuhan leak theory should be investigated.
Meantime, in China, legislators are going ahead with a law aimed at countering U.S. sanctions. A National People's Congress committee has filed a second draft of the legislation. Chinese media say the measure would provide legal backing for countering, quote, discriminatory measures by a foreign country.
And at the same time, legislation is coming on Capitol Hill designed to strengthen U.S. competitiveness against China. The bill, which authorizes more than $200 billion in spending, could be passed in the Senate as soon as today. The measure's course in the House isn't clear.
Back here in the U.S., we continue to see progress in the battle against the pandemic. The country saw just 15,000 new infections yesterday, and now Wall Street is getting more optimistic about workers coming back to the office. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
Employers in the financial services industry expect 61% of staff to be back by the end of September. That's up from 50% in March, according to a survey by the Partnership for New York City. About 14% of finance workers have already made their way back, the second highest occupancy among industries surveyed, but still well below real estate at 70%. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Turning to corporate news now, looks like Amazon could be subject to that new global minimum tax rate. Policymakers are constructing the plan to make sure the company is included, even though it has a profit margin below the 10% threshold. Sources say one scenario involves targeting individual operations, like Amazon's more profitable cloud computing unit, rather than the entire company.
Another big tech company is also in the spotlight. Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference resumes today after day one brought us everything from new hardware to a new operating system. But the real highlight may be a big overhaul to FaceTime, and Bloomberg's Mark Gurman has more.
Apple gave FaceTime the biggest update it's ever given the service since it launched in 2010. This is going straight after Zoom. They're adding scheduled FaceTime calls. They're adding improved video and audio quality, and a new feature that allows you to start a FaceTime call and then send a link to it to another user, just like you do with Zoom. And interestingly, it will work on the web on both Android and Windows.
Bloomberg's Mark Gurman says there's also a new SharePlay feature for users on FaceTime to watch video, listen to music, access apps together, and share screens. Futures this morning, well, S&P futures little changed, up 2 points. Dow futures down 36, and NASDAQ futures are up 34. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.55%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% at $68.77 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
.607 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Amy Morris to find out what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo focusing on getting 70% of adults at least one shot of a COVID-19 vaccine.
And then we can lift the capacity restrictions, social distancing, hygiene protocols, the health screenings, the potential tracing.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state might be able to hit that goal in just a matter of days. About 68.7% of New York adults have received at least one dose of the vaccine. Liberal groups are calling on New York lawmakers to use the last days of the legislative session to pass bills related to the criminal justice system, despite concerns over rising gun violence that could make reform more politically risky. Many of those bills remained in committee, with their prospects for passage this year uncertain. Former Citigroup executive Ray McGuire is low in the polls, but financial industry donors are continuing to pump money into his mayoral campaign. McGuire talked about his comeback plan for New York City with Bloomberg's David Westin on Balance of Power.
We are a tale of two cities right now. We're a tale of a fractured city. So unless we have someone in whom the city can believe, in whom they can trust, who's got a track record of pulling people together, that horse is going to go in the wrong direction.
Former Citigroup executive Ray McGuire has received more than five times as much money from Wall Street as other mayoral candidates. The Democratic primary is June 22nd. A New York Supreme Court judge has sided with State Attorney General Letitia James, requiring a local board of elections to place early voting locations in areas that are easily accessible from majority black neighborhoods ahead of the municipal primary this month. New York requires boards of elections and their commissioners to ensure that early voting poll sites provide adequate and equitable access to all voters. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he'll close the state's only women's prison after a night of violence by staff back in January left some inmates injured and renewed scrutiny of the facility's troubled past. At least 10 employees of the correctional facility for women are facing criminal charges. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy. Thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John.
All right, Nathan. Two New York teams with round two playoff victories, and it was ridiculously easy for the Nets. In Brooklyn, they led Milwaukee by 26 in the first half. At one point, led by 49. They won by 41, 125-86, the most lopsided playoff win in Nets history, and they lead the Bucks 2-0. Kevin Durant scored 32 points and didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. Kyrie Irving added 22. The Nets, not known for their defense, yet they held the Bucks to 34 points under their season scoring average. Kyrie was proud of that.
The level of effort, our attention to detail, our communication, we're just really being there for one another on the defensive end. So that makes a huge difference when guys are playing against us, and instead of seeing one body, they're seeing two or three, and we're just trying to make our opponent think.
The Nets did all this without James Harden, not known when or if he'll play in this series that now moves to Milwaukee. Phoenix won game one from Denver. Tom Thibodeau rewarded for the Knicks' vast improvement. He was named NBA Coach of the Year. The Islanders in Boston got outshot 44-19, but they scored three times on the power play. They beat the Bruins 5-4, now lead the series for the first time, 3-2. Five different Islander goal scorers, 40 saves for Semyon Varlamov. Montreal won in overtime for a 4-game sweep of Winnipeg. Jim Fossil, who coached the Giants for 7 seasons, including 2000 when they reached the Super Bowl, has died at 71. Fossil, who lived in Las Vegas, suffered a heart attack. Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic into the French Open quarterfinals. So is 17-year-old Coco Gauff, the only American left. She has reached her first career Grand Slam quarterfinal. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. This red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Multiple global websites shown as offline. Down Detector is reporting they include Amazon Web Services, as well as reports that Reddit may be offline as well. Of course, we're going to continue monitoring that, bring you more updates as we get them. Stay with Bloomberg Daybreak for all the latest. At the moment, S&P futures are up 1 point. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures are higher by 29. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Make your giving organized and tax-efficient. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and treasuries are rising this morning. We're seeing S&P futures deteriorate as we're getting some reports of multiple global websites being shown as offline. We'll get more on that in a moment. Right now, S&P futures are down about 8 points. Dow futures down 115. NASDAQ futures up 4. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.54%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.8% or 53 cents at $68.70 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.40 at $18.96.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2177 against the dollar. British pound 1.4139 and the yen 109.44. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, as you mentioned, multiple websites are experiencing outages this morning. Down Detector says Amazon Web Services appears to be down, as are Reddit, the New York Times, and other global websites. They're all showing up as offline. We're going to keep an eye on this for you. President Biden has released a multi-pronged strategy to secure critical supply chains and products ranging from medicines to microchips. The White House is to release a 250-page report today. And the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan is more than half done. U.S. officials say that while it could be completed by the 4th of July, the final exit of all of the equipment and the troops more likely will be later this summer. In sports, the Islanders beat the Bruins to take a 3-2 series lead. The Nets beat beat the Bucks to go up 2-0 in their NBA playoff series. And in baseball, the Red Sox beat the Marlins. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy. Thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as we continue to monitor this global disruption to the internet this morning, we want to turn now to our top story of the morning, a potential game-changing development for the treatment of Alzheimer's disease. Biogen has won FDA approval of its therapy after years of research and plenty of setbacks along the way. Joining us live, Dr. Sam Fazeli, Senior Pharmaceutical Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Sam, it's great to speak with you once again. And of course, this is the first FDA-approved Alzheimer's drug in nearly 20 years. That alone, obviously, is a big deal. What is this going to mean for patients and families who are affected by this just gut-wrenching disease?
Good morning, Nathan. So in a normal world, we would be absolutely celebrating a new Alzheimer approval, not only because it's the first in 20 years, but it's one that at least attempts to address one of the hypothetical root causes of the disease. And so that would be what we should be doing. But unfortunately, the approval comes on the back of a very controversial set of data that was presented by Biogen, trials that initially didn't meet the primary endpoint that they were set to have. And then when the company looked deeper at the data, there were some signals of efficacy. In the end, it got to the FDA. FDA held an expert panel who said they don't believe that there's evidence of benefit, and yet we have an approval. So there's a lot more to be discussed or looked at here, unfortunately.
Yeah, and one of the key words that stands out from your answer just there is that this is a hypothetical cause of the root nature of Alzheimer's disease. What are the potential setbacks or problems for approving a drug when we don't even know, I presume, that this is actually what causes the disease?
Yeah, so Nathan, I think that in itself isn't necessarily a problem, because often there have been situations where a drug's been approved where the mechanism of action was thought to be one, and then over time scientists discover that actually there was more to it than that, there was more other elements involved, or indeed something else completely. So that's not necessarily the biggest issue here. Is that the point is, you do therefore need, if you have a target such as amyloid, is what I'm talking about here, amyloid plaques in the brain, that is controversial in terms of the world of science being split on it, then you do at least hope to see the clinical evidence in the trials. And that's where I think the problem lies.
What could this mean for approvals of competing Alzheimer's drugs? We spoke to the CEO of Biogen, Michel Vounatsos. He says there are three therapies that are competing, and he welcomes them to the market. Could we see FDA approvals of those as well?
Well, if the FDA follows the same path and says, okay, here's some evidence of activity, and then here we have a product that also reduces this offending amyloid plaques in the brain of patients, then by rights they should be approved, assuming there's nothing else wrong, like bad side effects or something that you wouldn't expect. So by that measure, you would expect the rest of these products to also be approved.
There's also a question about the cost of this drug as well. $56,000 a year is the price point Biogen has put on this. Is that something that the company can justify?
Well, they have to have that argument with the payers at the minute and going forward. And obviously the issue is there's a lot of people in the world who would benefit from this, potentially, if that is indeed the case, that it's an effective drug. But if you've priced at that level, then it ends up being the luxury for some, and unfortunately a hope for others, which they can't get their access to.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Sam. You mentioned further discussion, further debate coming along with this Biogen drug. What further developments are you going to be looking for in the weeks to come?
Obviously, that will be the payer discussions and hearing what the, I mean, you're already hearing quite a lot of the conversation going on within the scientific community as to whether it should or shouldn't have been approved. But a lot of this will come back down to payer discussions, not necessarily over the next few weeks, but over the next few months.
Sam Fazeli, Senior Pharmaceutical Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you, as always, for your insights. And, of course, after the approval by the FDA for the Biogen Alzheimer's drug, the shares rose 38% in yesterday's trading. And just to keep you updated on the breaking news this morning, multiple websites experiencing outages, including the New York Times, Amazon Web Services, and Reddit, according to Down Detector, which also has been reporting problems with Spotify and Twitter. The BBC is reporting the UK government website is down as well. We're going to continue monitoring this, of course, for you throughout the morning. Stay with Bloomberg Radio. And futures are deteriorating on the news. S&P futures down 8. Dow futures down 126 points. NASDAQ futures higher by just 3. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, scattered afternoon showers and storms today and tomorrow, going up to near 90 degrees. We'll be in the upper 70s again Thursday with a chance for afternoon showers. Currently 76 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 11:30. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Websites across the Internet were unavailable today, including the New York Times, Reddit, and the U.K. government. This after services from content delivery network Fastly went down. Fastly runs a content delivery network that pushes data quickly around the Internet so businesses can help consumers shop online or watch videos on apps and websites. The company's website said that it was investigating a performance issue.
Well, meantime, on Wall Street, Biogen remains the talk of the town. Its new Alzheimer's therapy is being called a game changer after winning approval from U.S. regulators. That sent shares up almost 40%. CEO Michel Vounatsa says the battle against Alzheimer's is a costly one.
The starting point is a $600 billion that society is spending in direct and indirect cost on this disease in the U.S. only. And that the epidemiology is planned to triple by 2050.
Biogen CEO Michel Vounatsa says the company's already produced millions of vials of its drug, and it could hit the market within 2 weeks.
In other news this morning, bipartisan talks on infrastructure appear to have stalled. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, President Biden rejected the GOP's latest proposal last week, and Republican Shelley Moore Capito said she's bringing no new counteroffer to a conversation with Biden that's scheduled for today. So a bipartisan group of senators say they're ready to step in with an alternative. Republican Senator Mitt Romney says he and five others will present their own proposal to a wider bipartisan group of 20 lawmakers, and the White House is open to discussions with the group. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. We have new details emerging on last month's cyber attack on Colonial Pipeline. The U.S. says it's recovered almost all the ransom paid to the perpetrators of the hack. The FBI was able to find the funds in Bitcoin by uncovering digital addresses the hackers used to transfer money.
And on the corporate front, it looks like Amazon could be subject to that new global minimum tax rate. Policymakers are constructing the plan to make sure the company is included, even though it has a profit margin below the 10% threshold. Sources say one scenario involves targeting individual operations like Amazon's more profitable cloud computing unit rather than the entire company. And futures this morning are moving lower following news of that website outage. Right now, S&P futures down about 13 points, down futures down 156 and NASDAQ futures down 18. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Six 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Amy Morris for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy.
Thank you, Nathan. Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York's COVID-19-based restrictions will be effectively ended once the state is 70% vaccinated.
When we hit 70%, then I feel comfortable saying to the people of this state, we can relax virtually all restrictions.
Governor Andrew Cuomo's announcement follows a number of steps taken by the state recently aimed at loosening restrictions, including for things like masks and capacity limits. The governor explains officials are now focused on zip codes where vaccine rates are low, as well as getting younger people vaccinated. Wall Street getting more optimistic about persuading workers to come back to the office. Employers in the financial services industry expect 61% of staff to be back by the end of September, according to a survey by the Partnership for New York City. Bank of America is encouraging top managers to return to the office, while Goldman Sachs has told workers to plan to start coming in next week. New York City holds its primaries for mayor in just over 2 weeks. Former Citigroup executive Ray McGuire low in the polls but getting plenty of support from Wall Street. McGuire tells Bloomberg's David Westin on balance of power. His plan for New York City includes the most inclusive comeback plan in the history of the city.
I say inclusive by design. It's to create 500,000 jobs. Go big, infrastructure. Go small, small businesses. Go forward, technology, investing in the future.
Former Citigroup executive Ray McGuire's campaign has received $1.4 million from employees of big banks, private equity firms, and hedge funds. The Democratic primary is June 22nd. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo adding a virtual fundraiser in July for small dollar donors. The summer events provide the latest sign that Cuomo could be running for a fourth term. Cuomo's campaign sent an email to supporters inviting them to a grassroots reception with Governor Cuomo on July 6th. It'll be held virtually over Zoom for $25. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, Amy, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, you have to wonder, what would the Nets' margin of victory have been had James Harden played? An indication of just how talented the Nets are. They were without the injured Harden, who's been an NBA MVP, three-time scoring champ, and they still beat Milwaukee in Brooklyn by 41, most lopsided Nets playoff win ever, 125-86. Kevin Durant scored 32 points in 33 minutes. Nets shot 52%, made half their three-pointers. Their coach is Steve Nash.
Continuity and confidence is growing, so I think we're more aware of what we're trying to accomplish in more scenarios, and that's helping us, you know, feel free to really go for it, play hard, compete, be willing and okay to make mistakes, but try to do the right things at both ends.
Series 2-0 Nets heading to Milwaukee. Phoenix took the opener with Denver. The Suns coach Monty Williams actually got two more first-place votes, but it was the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau, who was named NBA Coach of the Year. Big win for the Islanders, 5-4 in Boston. They go up 3-2. They can reach the conference finals for the second straight year with a win tomorrow at the Coliseum. The Isles had three power play goals. Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy ripped the officiating. He said the refs treat the Islanders like they're the New York Saints. Montreal won in overtime for a sweep of Winnipeg. Jim Fossil has passed away at 71. Fossil coached the Giants for seven seasons, led them to the Super Bowl in 2000. He suffered a heart attack at his home in Las Vegas. Rafael Nadal's fourth-round win at the French Open raises his career match record in Paris to 100 wins, two losses. Novak Djokovic dropped the first two sets but lost only one game after that. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson joins us live on a morning where we're seeing good news and bad news on the tech side. Dave?
Certainly, Nathan. You look at Tesla shares. They're up 2.5% in early trading. The electric car maker's deliveries of vehicles produced in China climbed 29% in May after slumping in April. Now, this rebound reflects demand that preceded a protest at the Shanghai Auto Show last month. And as far as the bad news goes, Fastly down 4.5%. The operator of a delivery network for web pages is lower after several global websites experienced outages. We're talking the New York Times, Reddit, Amazon Web Services, according to Down Detector. Now, Fastly said it's investigating what it called potential impact to performance with its services.
And of course, we're going to be following those developments throughout the morning. And speaking of impact to performance, look at Bitcoin this morning, Dave. How are stocks related to the cryptocurrency faring?
moving down along with the value of Bitcoin, which has dropped to a two-week low of about $33,000 per coin. You've got the exchange Coinbase Global down 2% in early trading, and the Bitcoin investor MicroStrategy off about 0.5%. And as far as earnings go, Coupa Software lower by 8.5%. The business software maker gave a revenue forecast for the fiscal second quarter that came up short of some analyst estimates in a Bloomberg survey. On the other hand, Marvell Technology up 4%. The chipmaker's earnings and revenue for the fiscal first quarter surpassed estimates, Marvell citing robust growth in chips used for networking and data storage products. You have the online personal styling service Stitch Fix up 14%. The company with a narrower loss and higher revenue in the fiscal third quarter than analysts expected. Thor Industries up 3.5%. This is a maker of recreational vehicles. Fiscal third quarter sales beat projections. And Navistar International also out with the results. Haven't seen any trading in the shares yet, but it's one to watch. The truck and engine maker with a profit gauge for the fiscal second quarter that beat estimates, though sales came up short. We've got a deal in the energy business. Contango Oil and Gas up 5%. The energy producer agreed to a takeover by Independence Energy, owned by private equity firm KKR. This is an all-stock deal valued at about $1.2 billion. And some quick analyst calls of note. Delta Airlines up 1.5%. The carrier was raised to buy from Holder Jeffries. The firm did the same with Lamb Weston, a maker of frozen French fries, and that stock's up 1.5%. Science Applications International, though, down 2%. The consulting firm was cut to sell from neutral at Goldman Sachs. Also, Goldman removed the technology service provider CACI International from a list of top picks, and CACI is down 1%, Nathan.
All right. Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always. Just to keep you updated on the internet outage this morning, websites across the internet were unavailable with the content delivery network Fastly seeing a service disruption. Now, some sites have been able to restore service relatively quickly, including Shopify and Stripe. And we're seeing recovery in the futures contracts as well, with S&P futures little change. Now, Dow futures still down 55. NASDAQ futures are higher now by 25 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, scattered showers and storms today and tomorrow. Highs near 90 degrees. We'll be in the upper 70s to around 80 Thursday. Still a risk for scattered showers and storms. Currently 76 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and S&P futures are little changed this morning as several major websites went offline. We'll have an update on that outage in just a moment. First, let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures down 66 points. S&Ps are a little changed. NASDAQ futures higher by 29. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.55%. Gold falls 4. Bitcoin is below 33,000, and Japan fell 0.2% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, trade balance. And in other news, Fastly drops 5% as their content delivery network services went down. But Tesla rises 2.2% in the pre-market after China deliveries data. In deal news, SoftBank is in talks for a $7.5 billion loan secured by the planned sale of Arm to NVIDIA. And wrapping things up, Biogen got 4 upgrades after yesterday's FDA approval, and Johnson Controls raised to overweight at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Well, Karen, Fastly now says a fix has been found and is being implemented after that global disruption to the internet this morning. Multiple websites experiencing outages, including the New York Times, Reddit, and the UK government. After services from content delivery network Fastly went down again. Now, Fastly says they do have a fix and they're putting it in place now. A Senate investigation of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol has uncovered broad government, military, and law enforcement missteps before the riot. It recommends
recommends immediate changes to give Capitol Police more authority. And the chief executive of Colonial Pipeline is scheduled to testify before Congress this week to explain his company's response to the ransomware cyber attack. In sports, the Islanders beat the Bruins, the Nets beat the Bucks, the Red Sox beat the Marlins. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thanks. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios as we continue to follow developments surrounding this widespread internet outage. Again, Fastly saying it has found a fix and is implementing it after that major outage. We want to get to some of the top stories in our nation's capital now. They include intelligence failures getting the blame for the January 6th attack in at the Capitol in a Senate report out this morning. President Biden unveiling a supply chain plan to boost medicine and chip output, and the Senate near an endgame on a more than $200 billion anti-China bill. Also making news, Democratic leaders under pressure as infrastructure talks stall. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Of course, Emily, President Biden and Senator Capito have been engaged in talks for weeks. Now we got another round scheduled today. What are we expecting? Can we see anything new, do you think?
Well, it seems like they're reaching the end of the point of their talks. On Friday, remember, President Biden said that he could not agree to the Senate's plan. Yesterday, we saw Senator Shelley Moore Capito come back and say that she wasn't going to be offering a new plan to President Biden. So the two are going to continue to talk again today, but President Biden's under a lot of pressure from his own party right now to move forward on his own. Remember, the Senate and House Democrats, they wanted to pass something by the August recess. That's giving them less than 2 months right now to get something through, and this won't necessarily be easy because you have to get moderate and progressive Democrats on board. So definitely watching that discussion today, but it seems at this point that the coming back with various offers might have stopped.
Ahead of all those latest talks, we got a lot of news breaking this morning, including the Senate putting out its report on the January 6th riot at the Capitol. What did it find?
So the report found that weeks before the January 6th attack, that the U.S. Capitol Police did have intelligence that this was going to be more than just a protest for in favor of former President Donald Trump, but a bunch of omissions and miscommunications really kept that information from reaching frontline officers. It detailed the injuries that officers sustained during the day, but it really did not dig into the wider causes of what happened around this insurrection, didn't really investigate what Trump's role in that was.
We also got an announcement this morning from the White House on dealing with key supply chain disruptions. It sounds like a pretty comprehensive strategy from the White House. Can you give us some of the details there?
The White House is going to release a 250-page report with assessments and an expansive list of recommendations, according to White House officials, on what to do about this shortage for supply chains. They're also going to establish a supply chain disruption task force to address near-term bottlenecks. That's going to include individuals like Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, as well as Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, who are going to lead the team and just sort of try to address some of the current supply chains that we're dealing with in regards to semiconductors, transportation, agriculture.
And finally, Emily, we're expecting a vote today in the Senate finally on that broad China competitiveness bill.
Yes, after many requests by Republicans to vote on amendments, many of which have not passed, it seems that we're finally at the point today where the Senate is going to be voting on this bill. Remember, it's contributing billions of dollars towards research and economic development that's meant to boost the U.S. competitiveness against China. And that also includes about $50 billion for semiconductors.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins keeping us up to speed on all that's happening in the nation's capital. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan at 6:53 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's focus on small business now and the findings from a survey of owners who took part in the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Training Program. 75% of respondents think future conditions will improve, but there are also warning signs. For more on the findings, Bloomberg's John Tucker speaks with Asahi Pompei, the president of Goldman Sachs Foundation.
Never were small businesses more stressed than during the pandemic. What are the lessons learned?
It has been the toughest year ever for small businesses, and they're telling me they've learned a bunch of things. One is the importance of their financials. Having those records, having them on hand, not just when it's tax season, but all the time, is one of the key lessons learned.
Now, Goldman Sachs, and you do conduct surveys of the small businesses that you've trained through the 10,000 Small Business Program. What have they said about the pandemic and some of the things they're still facing in terms of the problems and the challenges?
You know, here's the good side. They're optimistic about the economy. Over 75% of our respondents believe things are going to be better in 2021 than they were during the pandemic. But they're ringing the alarm bells, John, in a number of areas. One is they say it's tough finding employees. And in particular, it's hard finding employees with the right skills, these non-technical skills, sales, marketing, customer service. They say that's where their key and critical needs are.
Has the situation with access to capital improved much for small businesses?
You know, certainly PPP was extraordinarily helpful. But, you know, here's what they're saying to us. They think that the biggest roadblock to their recovery is going to be access to capital. They said nearly 35% of our small business owners report wanting to take on more debt. But get this, John, 50% of them report that they're not confident that they're going to be approved, right? And so there's some real concern. With the optimism is married true concern in the small business community.
That's Asahi Pompei, president of the Goldman Sachs Foundation, speaking with Bloomberg's John Tucker on the challenges facing small business as we begin to emerge from the pandemic. And in the interest of transparency, we should note that Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio, is co-chair of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Advisory Council. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Biden administration has completed a 100-day review of supply chains and will form a task force to address the bottlenecks in the semiconductor construction, transportation, and agriculture sectors. Administration officials said their goal is to increase domestic manufacturing, limit shortages of vital goods, and reduce a dependence on geopolitical competitors such as China. Envoys from World Trade Organization member nations are taking up a proposal to ease patents and other intellectual property protections for COVID-19 vaccines to help developing countries fight the pandemic. On the table is a revised proposal presented by India and South Africa for a temporary IP waiver on coronavirus vaccines. The idea has drawn support from more than 60 countries, which now include the United States and China. The annual peak of global heat trapping carbon dioxide in the air has reached another dangerous milestone, 50% higher than when the industrial age began. Carbon dioxide levels peak every May, just before plant life in the northern hemisphere blossoms. The reprieve is temporary, though, because emissions of carbon dioxide from burning coal, oil, and natural gas far exceed what plants can take in. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. And we are continuing to watch this outage involving Fastly, with Fastly saying a fix to its problems with its content delivery network has been found. It is being implemented, and some websites, including the New York Times and the UK government website and Reddit, just to name a few, appear to be working again for some users. Fastly shares, we continue to watch those, down about 1.8% this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.